Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, we ask that you would take the word that we have to study today and make it real to us. Father, that our understanding would be there, and then Father, that our application would follow through in step with what our understanding is that you give to us. So Father, may we be what you would have us to be, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Colossians chapter 3, been dealing with the, on the basis of what God has done through Christ on our behalf, what is our response to be? What is our life to look like as a result? So let's take it from verse 12. And so, as those who have been chosen of God, the first things we look at are the three things God has done. Chosen of God. Second, holy. He's made us holy. Third, we're beloved by him. He loves us. Then we switch to, okay, because God has done those things, here's what we're to do. Put on. And we have the picture of clothing. Okay, what are you going to wear as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? What should people see? You know, you think about physical clothing as what people see when you walk up to them, okay? So here the issue is, what are people going to see of Jesus Christ when you interact with them? And so we have this list. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Now we come to verse 14, where we are today. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. I got to tell you, this verse bothered me for a long time, till just recently, to be honest. And here was the problem I had with it. You look at verse 12. Isn't compassion love? And isn't kindness love? Love is patient. Love is kind. Humility. That passage, we'll look at it quickly here. But humility, love is not arrogant. Gentleness, patience, bearing with one another. Love bears all things. Forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as Lord forgave you, so also should you. And this isn't beyond all these things. It just bothered me, because I think the clothes we already mentioned are certainly speak of love. Well, it's one of those situations where the commentaries really helped me and made me feel stupid, but that's all right. But it said basically this. Remember, we're talking about putting on clothes. We have to have an outer garment. And what more appropriate outer garment than to wrap everything up that we've looked at, kindness, gentleness, patience, forgiving, wrap it all up in love. I thought, now that settles my problem. Okay. It's the outer garment. Okay, of all these inner garments, beautiful. And it's gonna have its outworking in all these specific things, if you know what I mean. It's going to call on that love that I'm presenting is going to call for kindness and patience, depending on what the situation is. Just go back there, you know it by heart, but go back there to 1 Corinthians 13. We'll look at 4 through 8. Notice how many of these things are mentioned in the passage that we've been working on. Verse 4, love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Give the other side of that in Colossians. Humility, okay? Does not act unbecomingly. It's not rude. Does not seek its own. Puts other people first, is not provoked. Oh, there's one. bearing with one another. Okay. I always like to think of how sensitive is your provoking button. You know, is it in ounces? If you just touch it, will it go off? Or okay. Is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. What a great man. You know, as you go through this, it should become very, very apparent that, as the rest of Scripture teaches, this love is not something you and I can generate on our own. There's no way that you're going to get any of this out of the sin nature. Okay. The sin nature is in opposition to these things. And if you were to take this list out and talk to an unbeliever who's all riled up and been, you know, somebody did something wrong to him, and if you were to start to say, you know, you just need to be patient, you need to be kind, you shouldn't take this into account, what are they going to say? Do you know what this person did to me? You know, they're going to be sorry that, you know, there's the world system and the heart of man says, this is not how you handle life. And the world would say, and if you do, people are going to walk all over you. They're just going to walk all over you. You're going to be a nothing. Okay? Isn't it interesting how this is true character? You want to know who the hero is? The real hero? The real hero is the person who, by the power of God, lives out the life of Jesus Christ. That's heroism. That's what it's about. We can't let the world define for us what we should be. So often that happens. We can only let the Word of God define for us what we are to be. Okay, goes on. Does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, love never fails. All right, so let's get back to basics. How often do we forget the basics? I remember years ago talking to this guy, he's a friend of mine, great shooter. All of a sudden, all shooting went to pot. No, he just wasn't hitting what he was trying to hit. I think he was shooting woodchucks back east at huge, huge ranges. Just started missing. And he said to me, I had to go back to the basics. It was all my trigger pull. You know, I wasn't doing what my whole life I've been taught to do. I wasn't doing. And I think of, this is our basics. Love is our basics. It's the fundamental thing. If we're missing this, we're missing what God has called us to be. I want to say it this way. Love isn't optional for you if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. You know, it's not like, well, will I? Maybe I will, maybe I won't. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, this is your life. I have the right to expect it from you, and you have the right to expect it from me, okay? Because this is what we are to be as believers in Jesus Christ. And if we're not this, what does it matter what we are? Do you know what I mean by that? In other words, what are you going to have to take the place of this? You know? I mean, you're going to say, well, I'm honest. Okay, well, that's great, but... Where's the love? Okay. And what are the people you're interfacing with every day in need of? They're in need of love. How are they going to see Jesus Christ if they don't see the love of God? Okay. So that's all to say. Love is the trademark or the hallmark of the believer in Jesus Christ. Hands down, over throughout the Scripture, throughout the New Testament especially, this is what we're to be. And God has made every provision for us to do this. This isn't like just a few get to do this. So this isn't just for missionaries or pastors, or this is for every believer in Jesus Christ is to manifest this love. Okay. It is to be your way of life. Let's go to John 13. We'll start at 33 through 35. Of course, this is in the upper room discourse where the Lord is just talking to his disciples. It's interesting. Judas has just left. So now he's addressing all believers in him. Judas is gone. Satan's entered into him and he's gone out. And now the Lord says this. Verse 33, little children, I am with you a little while longer. You shall seek me. And as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. In other words, he's going to ascend into heaven after his death, burial, and resurrection. Now I say to you also, verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, okay? That you love one another, new standard, Old Testament standard, love your neighbor as yourself, okay? New standard, a new commandment. So he said it's new, okay? So it has to be new, has to go above and beyond the Old Testament, okay? So what's the standard? A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. Well, love your neighbor as yourself. I probably should say this, but maybe there's some wiggle room there. I mean, if you mistreat yourself, then maybe I can cause you to have the same mistreatment. You know, in other words, if I can do with being hungry, well, then you have to be hungry too. I don't have to look out for that. Okay, but with this, the Lord Jesus becomes the standard, and his perfect love, where he laid down his life for us on the cross, suffered the wrath of God on our behalf so that we could be forgiven, so we could be saved. That's the new standard. Okay, that's why it's the new commandment. I've got a little book at home called The 11th Commandment. I've got your 10 Old Testament commandments and then a new commandment. Okay, does a great job with it. All right, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now notice this, verse 35, by this all men, notice the power of these words, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Is he not saying, I want this to be what people see, our outer garment, okay? And I want everybody to know it. And you know, there's a great thing about this, that as times get darker and things get more difficult and life gets harder, it's a wonderful place to demonstrate the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. One thing, believers down through history have walked with the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter the darkness of the times, no matter the difficulty around them, that love becomes more and more apparent in the midst of, you know, when things get really tough, you know, I've done these things with experiments where they take a bunch of rats and they put them really close together and they just start fighting and biting each other and carrying on because there's not enough room and so forth. And you think about how when life gets pressured and things, people are sick and all kinds of things are going on, it's not a pretty picture, okay? But what a place for the believer to be and be able to manifest the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in those dark circumstances. Because it's clear, no matter what circumstances we're in, this is the order of the day for us as believers, okay? So he says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Romans 13, verse 8. It's an interesting verse, but it clearly states this. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Owe nothing to anyone. What does this say? It says, from God's perspective, which is the only perspective that matters, I am in debt to all the people I come in. I owe you love. I owe you love. And oh, I haven't paid that one. I owe you. I'm constantly in debt. And I need to pay. Okay, I need to pay out the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is a great concept here. 1 Thessalonians 4, notice how clearly this is stated in all these passages. Paul says to the Thessalonians, now as to the love of the brethren, other believers in Jesus Christ, you have no need for anyone to write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Okay. Fundamental, you know, it's a work that God accomplishes in believers, that we have a love for each other. Yeah, I don't know if you've experienced going to another church somewhere and going in there, and it's just that fellowship, and immediately there's that bond that takes place. But then he says, for indeed you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. And I love what he says. But we urge you, brethren, to excel still more. So there's this whole concept of, yes, as a believer, I'm walking some in love. But no matter who I am, I'm not pushing my head against the ceiling. In other words, there's room for me, ample room for me, probably infinite room for me to excel still more. In other words, so the idea is, you know, well, just because I had a pretty good day yesterday, you know, you might say, I had a pretty good day yesterday, and I loved the brethren, and I had some good opportunities, and that was great. And what does the word say? Excel. Still more. Okay. It's the same attitude we have when we're very desirous of something. You know what I mean? Of growing a business, of doing a good job, of going to state in some sport. You know, we all realize that whatever yesterday was, it's not enough. You know, I've got to keep growing. I got to keep pushing, I need to keep excelling. Okay, I need to move ahead. Okay, then 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. They must have taken Paul's words, because he said, excel still more. And then in the second book that he writes to them, second epistle, he says, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and see, so that increased, okay? Your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. So they're doing what he said. They're excelling, they're growing in their love for each other. And so the message of this first part of this study is, are we trying to excel? Have we capped out? You know, are we trying to excel in this area in obedience to the Word of God? Okay. Next thing, and I didn't really feel like I had a great way to present this, but every one of us as believers in Jesus Christ has been given a spiritual gift. Okay. In other words, there's something that God has given to us spiritually that enables us to go above and beyond in whatever that area of gifting is. But it's love that really gives effectiveness to that gift. Picture this. Suppose you stop into a church and never been there. Pastor comes up. He's extremely arrogant, but he teaches the truth accurately. Ever been around that? What does that do to the message? In other words, there's a problem there. And the message, you'd walk away and say, he spoke truth. I didn't find anything that was, I mean, he brought out some great passages in Scripture. But love gives effectiveness to whatever your gifting is. I believe it gives entrance that you're not going to have otherwise. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is a passage that really highlights this. There's been this big discussion going on in 1 Corinthians about gifts, about spiritual gifts, about the gift of tongues and so forth in the early church. And Paul really, the Holy Spirit through Paul, really lowers the hammer on them with what he says. Because they've been talking gifts, 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 gifts. And Paul's going to say, well, let me read it, because I can't describe it as well as it's stated here. So to these people who hold in high esteem the gift of tongues, verse 1 of chapter 13, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. He adds angels. What? He's saying, it's like he's taking the gift of tongues in the early church off the chart. And he says, suppose in one of my times of speaking in tongues, I was actually speaking in angelic language. Okay. I didn't even know there were angelic languages, but evidently. So he says, suppose I was doing that. Well, then amongst tongue people, that would have to be the best, wouldn't it? But he says this, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. That's a powerful statement. Because we would want to say, well, yeah, but at least, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's got at least a rate of 5, doesn't it? But you think about, how much do you like a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal? Suppose I took out some cymbals and just got bang, bang. None of us would like that. And that's what the Holy Spirit says, a gift, a valid gift, a Holy Spirit-produced gift, without love, that's what it ends up. That's a shocking revelation. Okay? Here's the one I love. Verse 2. And if I have the gift of prophecy, prophecy is the ability to foretell, to take God's word. It doesn't only mean to break down what the Word of God says about the future. Prophecy is just breaking down and explaining the Word of God. Okay, so if you're a pastor or a teacher or just a student of the Word, you might really, I get excited about it. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge. So here we are. You could not bring me a question I don't have the right answer for. Now that would excite me. Okay. Because I had a lot of questions I don't have the answer for. Okay. And so this would really excite me. And then the next one is, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, the kind of faith the Lord Jesus talked about, you know, you can cast that mountain into the sea if you just had the faith. So now I have it. In other words, to me, a perfect faith. A powerful faith. But what does he say? So if I have all the answers of everything scriptural and so forth, and I know all mysteries and knowledge, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I'm nothing. Oh. So you get the idea that God is saying, this love is important. You know, this is the supreme issue if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Okay. This isn't down the bottom somewhere. This is at the top. Okay. All right. Then he says, and if I give all my possessions to feed the poor. So it's, you know, you become convinced that I'm going to. You sell your house, you sell your cars, you sell everything you got, and you give it all to the poor. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? And then the next one. And if I deliver my body to be burned, he's not talking about cremation. He's talking about if I am a martyr for Christ. To me, that's the top right there, to actually be killed for the cause of Jesus Christ. But what does he say? But do not have love, it profits me nothing. Those are powerful verses. And they're certainly meant to cause us to have a desire and a goal of love and be calling on the Lord to do that through us. Okay, Romans 5 starts off with our salvation. It says, therefore, having been already completed, justified by faith, pronounced righteous by God because of our faith in Christ, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt or in high spirits in hope of the glory of God, which is promised to us. And not only this, but we exalt in our tribulations. Okay? Another thinking change that God brings about. We also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Yeah, if you're going to be a person who is truly persevering through everything, you've got to learn how to do that. And that means you have to face a lot of hard things. I'm convinced that's what boot camp's about. You know, you can distill it all the way down, and it's about, we want to find out if you have a thread or a little bit of a spark where you will persevere. Okay. And you will persevere though we yell at you or push you around or give you things to do that are impossible, that you will keep going. Okay. And then they're not going to be done in boot camp. I mean, that's just the beginning to get you, you know, and then you're going to go out there and you really learn perseverance out on the battlefield and so forth. It's, you know what I mean? Well, the Christian life's the same thing. The Christian life is God putting us through boot camp, all the things that are necessary so that we say, Lord, I know your plan is perfect. I know you love me. I know you know what you're doing. I know my initial reaction here was I was really upset and I was really hurt or angry or whatever, frustrated, but I know you work all these things in accordance with your plan to make me what I should be. Okay. And a big part of that is being humbled. But at any rate, it goes on, it says, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, perseverance, proven character, and proven character hope or confident expectation that God's going to complete everything he's promised to do. And then it says this, and hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out, this agape love that you and I can't do, but God does. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And so we won't go there, but the fruit of the Spirit is first one mentioned is love. Okay. Next thing I want to deal with is this. We know love by the action it takes. Okay. Love is more than an attitude. It includes the action that the proper attitude brings about by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so love is always looking for ways to demonstrate, you know, here's a challenge. We're going to be dealing with husbands and wives here one of these days in this Colossians passage. But, you know, when Scripture says, husbands, love your wives, what does that mean? You know, and what does that look like? You know, like McGee used to say, how do you put shoes on that? How do you put the leather on the ground for husbands? Love your wives. And, you know, should a wife be able to say, I know my husband loves me? And if she does say that, how does she know it? You know what I mean? I mean, this sticky stuff, I realize, but, you know, it has to take action. And it has to be more than, I love you. That's great, don't get me wrong, but I love you can be cheap. You know, I always have this thing in my head about, in all of history, in all the different languages, that I love you has been said, how much of it was bogus? Do you know what I mean? What percentage of it was just to get your way, or, you know, just, well, I need to say it, so I will, versus, okay, let's look at some verses. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Okay, this verse starts off, whoever believes that Jesus, the one born to Mary, is the Christ, that he actually is the Messiah, the fulfillment of all the Old Testament verses about the coming Messiah. That's what Christ is, the word for Christos, the Greek word for the Messiah, the anointed one. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, that's always been an issue, okay? I love Paul. You'll hear Paul saying in the epistles, Christ Jesus. And what is he saying? He's saying Jesus is the Christ, because that was the issue. Everybody knew there was a Jesus, okay? This one born to Mary and raised in Nazareth, born in Bethlehem and so forth. But the whole issue was, is he the one that fulfills the Old Testament promises of the Messiah? Okay. All right. Whoever that believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. It's evidence of being born again. And whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. And you would think, well, that's talking about Jesus. But the next verse gives us the context. And it says this, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. Okay, so we've been looking at these things, you know, of patience and kindness, and those are things that are told us to do. And so when it comes down to, am I loving the brethren or not? The question is, am I applying Scripture by the power of the Holy Spirit to my relationship with people? Okay? And that to me is, that's huge. Because it goes beyond the feeling. See, what we like to do is we like to identify love with the emotion or feeling of love. But this goes beyond that, because I may not have the feeling. Do you ever have that happen? I tell the kids, you know, that I'm counseling for marriage, I say, you know, you got all these starry-eyed stuff and fuzzy feelings, and that's great. I love it. But there's going to come a time when you are really angry with him. And if you look in your heart and say, do I love him? You may say, not right now. Okay. But that doesn't excuse the believer from, I am to treat you according to the commandments of the Word of God, regardless of whether I am frustrated with you, whether I'm upset with you, whether you've disappointed me, on and on and on. What am I to do? I'm to be kind. I am to be gentle, okay? I am to be all these things that Colossians is telling me about, and the rest of the epistles are telling me about. I love that, because the other, it can take your, cut you down at the knees, because your feelings are down here, there, you know, feelings can go all over the place, but that the feelings really don't play into this as far as what I'm commanded to do. Because this verse says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments, for this is the love of God. Got it? This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Okay. So, love takes action. The greatest example of that is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Okay? The love of God is action that saves us. You understand that? God did not say, I think of it this way. If it's just a mental attitude, he just sent some angels, say, you know, God just loves you. Okay? But the issue is, God's love is a love of action, okay? And we count on that action, don't we? When we pray, when we hold things up before him, we're counting on that he loves me because he declares he is. And that's a wonderful thing. 1 John chapter 3, and we'll end with this. 1 John 3, verse 13. What a passage. It says this, do not marvel, brethren, if the world hates you. The world isn't in favor of Jesus Christ. Do not marvel, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life, been born again, because we love the brethren. There it is. He who does not love abides in death. In other words, we haven't passed out of death into life. Verse 16. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Verse 18. Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. Okay. Do it. Put love into action. Okay. And that takes some thinking. That takes some ability to recognize, what's the need here? Lord, how would you have me fill this need or attempt to fill this need? How can I do this? And like I said, getting back to husbands, love your wives. What does that mean? You gotta say, as a husband, you gotta look at that. You gotta say, how could I put into action this love for my wife? I mean, I think that's gonna be very, I don't think you can write a book and have it work for everybody. You know what I mean by that? I mean, I don't think you can write a book and say, this is how you love your wife, because every wife's different. And God gave you your wife so that you would know her well enough to know what is going to be the expression of my love best communicated to her. Father, how we thank you for your word. We ask that you would take these things, oh Lord, that we might be what you intend us to be, and that we might be those who manifest as that outer garment, that wonderful love of God, that wonderful love of the Lord Jesus Christ, so wonderfully portrayed to us through the cross. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.